Our selection of scripture this evening is the prophecy of Isaiah. The prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 7. And it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, the king of Israel, went up toward Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail against it. And it was told the house of David, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim. And his heart was moved in the heart of his people as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. Then said the Lord unto Isaiah, go forth now to meet Ahaz, thou and Shear Jehov, thy son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field, and say unto him, take heed and be quiet. Fear not, neither be faint-hearted for the two tails of these smoky firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin with Syria and of the son of Remaliah. Because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, let us go up against Judah and vex it, and let us make a breach therein for us, and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin, and within 65 years shall Ephraim be broken, that it be not a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If ye will not believe, surely ye shall not be established. Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God, ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, hear ye now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will ye weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse evil and to choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. The Lord shall bring upon thee and upon the people and upon thy father's house days that have not come from the day that Ephraim departed from Judah, even the king of Assyria. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall hiss for the fly that is in the uttermost part of the rivers of Egypt, and for the bee that is in the land of Assyria, and they shall come and shall rest all of them in the desolate valleys and in the holes of the rocks and upon all thorns and upon all bushes. In the same day shall the Lord shave with a razor that is hired, namely by them beyond the river, by the king of Assyria, the head and the hair of the feet, and it shall also consume the beard. And it shall come to pass in that day that a man shall nourish a young cow and two sheep. And it shall come to pass for the abundance of milk that they shall give, he shall eat butter. For butter and honey shall everyone eat that is left in the land. And it shall come to pass in that day that every place shall be where there were 1,000 vines, at 1,000 silverlings, it shall even be for briars and thorns. With arrows and with bows shall men come thither, because all the land shall become briars and thorns. And on all hills that shall be digged with a mattock, there shall not come thither the fear of briars or thorns, but it shall be for the sending forth of oxen and for the treading of lesser cattle. Our text this evening is verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. May God bless the reading of the text and the explanation of it in the sermon. Loved in our Lord Jesus Christ, these were very dark days for the Old Testament church with a wicked king as a leader, and the church had dissolved in all kinds of horrible sins. And so, yes, God is sending the nations against them to chastise them. We read in 2 Chronicles chapter 28 or in 2 Kings chapter 16 the exact context in which this prophecy comes. Syria, with a great host, would kill and take captive many. And King Pekah of Israel would kill 120,000 of Judah in one day, and they would carry off 200,000 men, women, and boys and girls as slaves, although Ephraim would eventually return them to Jericho because of the Lord's word to them. They also are very wicked. So in these times, Ahaz is afraid. And that's why the Lord sends the prophet Isaiah to him. Be quiet now. Don't be disquieted. Don't be full of fear. The point of the whole pericope here before us is that the enemies of the kingdom of God shall not stand. They shall not succeed. Even if Ahaz wickedly does not want a sign of the Lord, even if Ahaz does not ask the Lord for help, even if Ahaz goes to the wicked nation of Assyria seeking his help, God is sovereign, and the enemies of God's kingdom will not triumph. They shall not stand. They will not succeed. Salvation is valid and voiced here in the sign that would be given to Ahaz. Salvation of his people. Why is this so important at this point when God has brought those heathen nations against Ahaz to chastise them? Notice with me then the Old Testament prophecy of Emmanuel, a divine sign given, a wonder of wonders, and then thirdly, the purpose, the covenant promise. Isaiah is given the word of the Lord to speak. But not only is he given the word of God to speak, but he also sees a vision. Behold, he says, a virgin. And now more literally, behold, a virgin pregnant and bringing forth a son, and she shall call his name Emmanuel. So there is not only the word of the Lord that Isaiah brings, but Isaiah sees a vision. That is, he sees way far into the future. Now, he does it more often in his prophecy. He sees the return of Israel from captivity also, but here he sees way into the New Testament dispensation. And he says to Ahaz, I see a virgin pregnant, bringing forth a son, and I hear her. She calls his name Emmanuel. Ahaz didn't want a sign, but we'll get to that in a little bit later. But what is this idea of a sign? And how is that now? What does it have to do with the circumstances in which Ahaz lived, in which Syria and Israel are attacking her? What is the idea of a sign? A sign is a visible thing, quite often also causing wonder, and that's why miracles are called signs and wonders. A sign, a visible reality, which is intended to portray hidden, invisible truths or spiritual things. And so in one sense, all things are signs, aren't they? That's the way God made this creation. That the things in this visible world point to spiritual truths, things that are invisible and hidden to our eyes. Eternal, heavenly realities. The sun that shines in the sky, that gives light, that gives heat, that gives life. What a picture that is of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord willing, when I come back, we're going to have that passage from Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. The Son of Righteousness that is risen with healing in his wings. There are the stars up there in the sky. And that was a sign to Abraham. As many as the stars are in the sky, so will be your seed, the children I'm going to give to you. Or there is the wind that blows so fiercely here in Indiana. Or down in Florida, the hurricane. What a picture of the hidden reality of the Holy Spirit that you can't see with your eyes, but you surely can see what he does when he works within a man or a woman or a child and turns them around, powerfully entering their heart and giving them new heart. Or otherwise, there's the bread and the water, or there is the lowly vine, or there is the lion and the lamb, all pictures of Christ Jesus, aren't they? These signs in Scripture always accompany the word of the Lord. Just as this morning the sacrament accompanies the preaching of the word. You have the word, but then a sign is given there of as water washes away dirt externally, so the blood of Jesus washes away all of our sins. Signs accompany the word of God. And those signs are intended for believers to confirm God's word, that God's word will stand and it will come to pass. The Lord is God. The Lord loves his people. And so God gives us his word to our ears and he gives these signs then to our eyes. But at times, signs are also given to unbelievers, aren't they? And they have significance. Jesus said, "Oh, wicked generations that seek after a sign, no sign will be given to you except the sign of Jonah." Or the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 of how the Jews seek a sign and the Greeks look for wisdom. Or Jesus, Matthew 16 puts it very beautifully the foolishness there of the Pharisees. We read there that they tempted him, desiring that he would show them a sign from heaven. And he answered and he said unto them, "When it's evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. Oh, you hypocrites! You can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonah." Signs come to believers, to unbelievers. And there is a twofold purpose then to those signs. For the wicked, given better knowledge, they sin to their own condemnation. They say, "I don't want to read that sign. I don't want to understand what he is really saying to me." They reject it. And they are without excuse. But for God's people who hear God's word and then are able to see the sign of baptism, to see the sign of the Lord's Supper, to see these signs in creation every day, it confirms in us our faith. It confirms in us the word of God. And that sign now is, we notice, from the Lord. That is very emphatic, isn't it, in the case of Ahaz. "Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above." And Ahaz acts as if he is very concerned, and that no, he wouldn't request a thing from the Lord, but he is very wicked. He refused that sign because he didn't want the Lord's help, because he didn't want to fear and serve the Lord. No, he says, "I will not." He had the word of God already. Don't be afraid. Be quiet. Don't vex yourself, because they will not succeed. And now the sign. I see a virgin. No, not just a young lady, a virgin. And we know that from Matthew, also quoting, "A virgin shall conceive and bear a son." One who has not cohabited with a man. That was exactly Joseph's problem, wasn't it? This young virgin, Mary, was pregnant, and he knew that he wasn't the father, and he assumed the worst, that she was fornicating. And he believed the sign. But this sign now is given here also, and it's very much tied to the whole message. The enemies of God's kingdom will not succeed. Even if Ahaz is very wicked, yes, God will chastise. But Syria, and especially Israel, will not be successful in what they try to do. For what do they try to do? We read it in verse 6. They want to make a breach upon Jerusalem, and they want to kill the house of David and set another king on the throne, even the son of Tabeel. So what is here is going on is a war, isn't it? But it's not like the war that's going on between Russia and Ukraine. But this is now a war going on upon enemies of God against Judah, who we have to understand is not just merely a nation, but Judah is the church. And those enemies of God want to break down the church completely and take its leadership away and give it another leadership. What is involved then is the line of David, isn't it? And what is really at heart is here the Christ. The devil wants to use these nations in order to cut off the line of David, to prevent the Christ child from being born. Read Revelation 12 of how the Satan is there watching the woman heavy with child, wanting to take away the man-child. It's the same devil who later on with Herod tries to take away the Christ child by killing all the babies in Bethlehem. That will not take place because God is in his heaven, and the enemies of the kingdom of God will not stand. They will not succeed. Satan's foolish desire will not take place. How foolish is he? There he is, very happy when the Pharisees and the Sadducees hate Jesus. And yes, in their wickedness, they put Christ Jesus to death. And Satan must have hopped around with glee. It's done, it's done. And then there was the third day, wasn't it? And Jesus arose with victory. The word of God stands. And now, how is this circumstance in Ahaz's day linked to that sign that is going to take place way there in the distant future? And that is because it is really the fulfillment. It is the climax. All through the Old Testament, beginning with Adam and Eve, oh, Satan thought he had a victory, didn't he? Eve took. She gave to Adam and he took in sin and rebellion. He seems victorious, but God is on the throne. And God from eternity determined that in the way of sin, of Adam's sin, the whole human race would be cast down into sin and depravity, so that through the way of sin, he shows his grace and he will save his people, those whom he has given to Christ in eternity. He's going to save them in time. The enemies of God's kingdom shall not stand. Ahaz, will you believe it? No, he will not believe it. Ahaz, ask for a sign. No, I will not ask for a sign. I don't want to fear God. I don't want his help. I'm going to go to Assyria and ask their help. And then Isaiah says, well, the Lord himself will give you a sign, Ahaz, whether you ask for it or not. You unbeliever, a virgin. God is going to do the impossible. So how is it possible that the enemies of God's kingdom, which are so strong, that they will not stand, that they will not succeed? And the answer is because God does the impossible. How impossible? A virgin. A virgin who knows no man, pregnant, and she bears a son. And Isaiah says, and I hear her. She calls his name Emmanuel. What a sign that is. It is a sign of salvation. The salvation that God was always working through the Old Testament, so that Adam and Eve do not stand naked forever. God finds them and he clothes them by the way of blood. What a powerful redemption. And when the generations were growing very wicked, God snatches up Enoch when he's 365 years old and he takes him right up into heaven. And when God's people are being hurt, he separates Noah and the church in the ark by the waters from the unbelievers and destroys them. And when the Israelites are slaves there in Egypt, again, the Lord does the impossible. The 10 plagues, he delivers them through dry ground, through the Red Sea, and he swallows up Pharaoh and his host. And that's going to take place now also against those two enemies. For what's going to happen? The word of the Lord comes. Assyria is going to turn against Syria itself, and those 10 tribes, the northern tribes that departed from Judah, they have only 65 more years to exist as a nation, and they will be taken away and never return. O Ahaz, hear the word of the Lord. The enemies of God's people shall not stand. They shall not succeed. Salvation. And you want to believe that? You must believe that? Then look ahead in the future. How God does the impossible. A virgin conceives. She's pregnant. So that the child that she has is indeed the Son of Man. But the Holy Spirit has come upon her. He is also the Son of God in one person. What a sign. O Ahaz, listen, God will be triumphant. God will save his people. The wonder of wonders. I said a miracle is a sign and a wonder. It's something that causes something you see with your eyes, and you say, how is it possible? How is it possible that all of a sudden the Red Sea was opened up like that? How is it possible that with 40 days of rain and the earth opening up and the heavens opening up, that that little boat of Moses would stay there safely on the waters? How is it possible that little Judah, with his two enemies combining themselves, will not be overcome, that Jerusalem will not be invaded, and the son of David and the line of David is not going to be extinguished? And the answer is because God does a wonder. And God does that wonder primarily through his Son, Jesus Christ. A virgin conceives. A divine Son. That's his person. He's the Son of God. Having a divine nature, but now added to it a real human nature. Bible says that is the mystery of godliness. Mary's firstborn. No, we do not agree with the Roman Catholic Church that Mary only had this one child. We know from the Gospels that there were brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ. Mary's firstborn, but he is God's only begotten Son. Our Savior. And beloved, that wonder is central in the whole fulfillment of God's covenant. This is the miracle of miracles. Well, you say, wasn't Jesus' resurrection from the dead also a wonder of wonders? And isn't his ascension into heaven also very necessary for the covenant? And isn't it his session in heaven also very necessary, and his coming again at the end of the world? Yes, they are all necessary, but none of them could take place unless, first of all, God came down from heaven by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. That's what we confess again this evening, didn't we, in the Apostles' Creed. What a wonder. All through the virgin birth. Why this wonder of wonder? Why is this the only way that the enemies of God's kingdom will not stand? That they will not be successful? And the answer is, he had, this Savior had to be God in order to be powerful enough to defeat our enemies, in order to defeat death, in order to defeat Satan. And he also had to be man. He had to be one of us in order to stand in our place and take our punishment as our representative. He is indeed the last Adam. The first Adam failed. He brought us all into sin. But it is that last Adam who brings you and I who believe in him in that perfect obedience before God. His righteousness is given to us. And so we have a sign here in given the wonder of wonders. The one who defeats Satan, sin, and death. It is a sign of salvation that the wicked continue to reject. And as the church apostatizes, there are segments of what's still called the church that now no longer believes in the incarnation of Jesus Christ. They say it's just a story. Or there's other parts that say that Jesus Christ did not really rise again from the dead, but only arose in the imaginations of the disciples. The wicked reject. The wicked refuse to embrace the sign along with the word of God to their own condemnation. But over against that, let's listen of how the word of God comes and it's accompanied with a sign. And there's wonderful faith. You know where I'm going to turn, don't you? Matthew chapter 1. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. Because before they came together, she was found with child. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And what is Joseph's reaction when he gets the word of the Lord accompanied with the sign that the Lord had given way back then? Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. The word of God, accompanied with a sign, just like the word preached is accompanied by the signs of the sacraments to confirm our faith. Notice with me the purpose of this sign. A virgin shall conceive, yes, we've got that part, bear a son, and she shall call his name, what? Yes, Joseph is told to call him Jesus, but She will call, that is, this virgin is going to call him Emmanuel. And what does that name Emmanuel mean? God with us. God with us. How beautiful. God with us. While God is always with his people, now he would be with his people in a very intimate way. God was with his people, Adam and Eve. He went and he found them there when they were hiding in the garden, and he clothed them. God was with Enoch and rescued him when the enemies wanted to kill him. God was with Noah in the ark with his church there. God was with his people in Exodus coming out of Egypt. He was with them in the wilderness, feeding them day after day. But God was with them in a very visible way also in that tabernacle. When the glory of God came and filled that tabernacle, the Shekinah, and later on, the temple that Solomon built. God is with his people, but now God comes down, and the temple is the body of Jesus Christ. God with us. God uniting the divine and the human natures in the one person of his only begotten Son. Beloved, that is covenant, where God and man are brought together in salvation. How intimate is that connection in the Son, of which the tabernacle in the Old Testament and the temple were only a faint picture, even though the glory of God, the Shekinah, was in it. And what is predicted here? Will we always be slaves of sin? Is there no way out? Is there only a battle against sin in our lives forever and ever? The covenant violated by Adam, repaired by Christ Jesus, who is our righteousness. Restored by Christ Jesus. And that's why, young people, the definition that you have for the covenant of grace is that relationship of friendship and fellowship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. That's the only way that you and I and the church can have fellowship with the Holy God. By nature, we're sinners, vile, wicked, but redeemed in Christ Jesus. His righteousness is given to us, and yes, that is perfect love, isn't it? The binding of two together. God and us in Christ Jesus. So that sign comes to Ahaz, that wicked king who doesn't want to rely upon the Lord, who doesn't want to fear the Lord, but he wants to trust the arm of flesh instead, so that he can continue in his sin. But God's promise is to God's people, elect from before the foundation of the world, gathered from all the nations and from Adam and Eve, the enemy of God's people continue to strike, don't they? They continue to strike at the heel so that we can hardly walk at times. They strike at the heel. But the seed of the woman, who is the seed of David, who is the Christ, born of a virgin, by going to the cross, crushes the head of the serpent, defeats sin's hold on us, and defeats death. For the wages of sin was death, wasn't it? And he died that for you and for me. Jesus, that virgin pregnant, brought forth a son. All of the Old Testament looking forward to that day when that seed of the woman, that seed of the woman, the virgin, would be born. You and I now look back at it. Fulfilled. Climax. Victory. And we look forward yet, don't we? We look forward to when Jesus comes again. And there is no more battle against sin. For Satan and his host will be dashed down to hell forever and ever. There will be no more temptation. There will be no more sin. What a beautiful fulfillment of that sign took place there in Bethlehem. And you and I, looking forward to Christmas, are able to follow these promises in God's word and say, his word will stand. The enemies of God and the enemies of God's people shall not stand. They shall not succeed. Christ, Christ is King. Jesus Christ, you're my Savior. In our human flesh, paid for our sins, defeated our enemies, and gives us salvation. So that now by faith, we worship him. Now by faith, even in our minds, as he's pictured in the Word, we can see him revealed there. One day, as Job says, I will see my Redeemer with my eyes. We'll see him face to face. And instead of coming to the baptismal fount and to the table of the Lord, we're going to be sitting with the Lord Jesus Christ at the banquet table. Christ and his bride, the church. Oh, how he loves us. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word preached. We thank thee, Father, for the signs of the sacraments that accompany it to help us to visualize what we hear with our ears. We thank thee for the word of God that came to Judah, unworthy as they were at that time, that though they were being chastised, they would not be eliminated. The house of David would not end. The Christ would not be caught by Satan. The enemies of God do not stand. And we're thankful for the sign that was given for the Old Testament saints to look forward to of that climax of that battle. And that we are able to look back at and also look forward to. For he who came to suffer and to die for our sins is coming again in glory. And we will be with him in the new heavens and the new earth. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen.